In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you on this Friday. Very excited. I want to, first of all, just thank all the folks last night that came out to St. James Catholic Church in Millstout, Illinois. Alan was the coordinator there, who's also police chief. It was a great turnout, wonderful group, and a bunch of teenagers were there, which I always enjoy. And in fact, I even went out to dinner with some of them and their parents after the talk last night. So I want to thank for everyone there at St. James. And people came out from other cities and areas around Millstatt as well. And I want to thank all of them for making the effort to come out. Well, tonight I am at St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Aurora, Indiana. And the talk is actually tomorrow morning. So it's going to be from 10:30 to 12:30 p.m., 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Tomorrow, Saturday, July 25th, again at St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Aurora, Indiana. Beautiful place. I drove through, but there's a river here in town. It's a beautiful small town setting. I want to thank Anna, who's coordinating my being here. And, you know, I got to say, you know, at these small towns that I've been speaking in this year, both with on this tour and with Dr. Marcus Peter, you know, these tiny places, I keep asking, do you ever get speakers here? No, we never get anybody. That's why we're so excited you're here. They're so happy to see you, you know, and it just shows, I think, the heart of the Catholic community in these smaller places. So I'm so grateful to be here and to be able to do this, not just speaking to, you know, tens of thousands of people like I've done in the past. Somebody's like, I can't believe you're here. Like, yeah, I go where the Holy Spirit wants me to go and where my wife says yes. I definitely don't have an ego about this. Like, oh, I have to speak with this many people. That's dumb. You know, like if somebody wants me to come and we can make it work, let's do it. If this is what God wants, then we're going to do it. And I love being here at this parish. Why? If you're watching on YouTube, you can look behind me and see an awesome picture of one of my absolute heroes, probably my favorite pope, St. John Paul II. You know, as soon as I saw that, I got to set up with him, with JP2 in the background, man. And I hope one day that he officially gets named one of the great popes. I mean, he was a great pope, but the title, the great, there's only three popes that have that title right now. Pope Gregory the Great, Pope Leo the Great, and Pope Nicholas the Great. So I'm hoping that one day, you know, Pope Leo the 14th, well, you know, he'll find it in his heart to name St. John Paul II one of the great, the official title of the great, because I think he's great. And many other people too do. So I definitely had to have that picture behind me here. Today is an awesome, awesome day. Today is the feast day of one of the, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest saints in the church, Saint Charbel Makhlouf. And you're like, who? Saint Charbel. Saint Charbel is a Maronite saint. He was a monk. So the Maronites are Lebanese Catholics. And I've come to have a great love and affection for the Maronite community. You know, it started for me during diaconate formation. So one of the things they did during our formation process was to have us go to Eastern churches, Eastern Catholic churches. So we went to a Ruthenian church, went to a Byzantine church, we went to a Ukrainian Catholic church, and went to a Maronite. We went to Vespers even at an Orthodox church. They're not in communion with us, but we went just for a Vesper service. And then we went to a Maronite Catholic church, St. Charbel in Southeast Portland. And that was my first exposure, really, to Maronites. And I loved the liturgy. I loved the priest that was there at that time, Abuna Jonathan Decker, who's one of the holiest people I've ever met in my life. He is a monk, just like Saint Charbel. Abuna Jonathan is a monk, and he was pastor there for many years at Saint Charbel's in Portland. But now he is actually the superior of a monastic community now, just up Interstate 5 up in Washington. And he's been there for a few years now with, I think, five other monks that are there with him, living a beautiful solitary monastic life. So, but he is responsible for so many vocations, not just Maronite, but Latin Rite in our Archdiocese of Portland, Oregon. Beautiful man of God. And so that was my first exposure to the Maronites. And then, of course, getting to know Father Mitch Packwood in graduate school, which is also part of the formation program. So getting to know Father Mitch and having him expose us to the Maronite rite as well. And then the big push came when I started traveling to Australia. The person who coordinates my travel over there, Charbel Raish, he's been on EWTN a number of times, written a great book, which is available in the EWTN catalog, and is the Parousia Media, which he runs, is the EWTN affiliate for Australia. Great, great man of God. He's Maronite. And so he invited me to come to speak. And when I go to Australia, and I've been there 10 times on speaking tours, I speak at mostly Maronite parishes. And huge numbers come out. I'm so grateful to the Maronite community. In fact, Cardinal Pell, the former Archbishop of Sydney, God rest his soul, once said that the Maronite church is the beating heart of the church in Australia, right? The Maronites are there. In fact, Australia has the largest number of Maronite Catholics outside of Lebanon are in Australia, and they're thriving. They are thriving there. So thanks be to God. And so I got exposed to that. And then I spoke at a conference with Saidna Tarabe. So Saidna is their word for archbishop. He came to a talk that I gave, got to know him. He gave me a book to read that he wrote about Maronites and Maronite liturgy. And he said, if you read this and study this, I can grant you faculties to serve as a deacon in the Maronite rite. And I'm like, what? I mean, give me a book to study the faith. Yeah, that's not a hard sell. So I did that. And I actually deaconed for him. So he could see that I knew at least, you know, the basis of what I was doing, and he's granted me faculties to serve as deacon. So I'm in Australia, I'm by ritual. I serve at the Latin Rite parishes and the Maronite as well. So I just love everything about the Maronite Rite. So I'm so excited about Saint Charbel. Now, Saint Charbel did not found the Maronites. That was Saint Marin who founded, Saint Benedict founded the Benedictines, Saint Francis founded the Franciscans, Saint Dominic founded the Dominicans, you know, and so Saint Marin founded the Maronites. Saint Charbel, I think without question, is the most famous Maronite saint, and I think Saint Marin, who founded the order, probably be second behind Saint Charbel, because he's just so incredibly popular and an amazing miracle worker. And this is sometimes just argues. I think the Dominicans have a saint that they think is number two. But behind the Blessed Virgin Mary for having the most miracles attributed to them, Saint Charbel is number two. But again, some Dominicans will argue that they have a saint that they think is that has the most miracles outside of Blessed. But I'm going to go with Saint Charbel. and we'll talk about some of the miracles that were through his intercession. So excited to be talking about him today. So if you have experience with Saint Charbel, you ask for his intercession, or you just want to learn more about him, give us a call today on Beacon of Truth on this feast of Saint Charbel Mukluf, the great Maronite monk and saint. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you want to call us from Lebanon or anywhere outside of North America, just dial 1, then 205-271-2985. If you can't call in, you can always email us at beacon@ewtn.com. And you can even text your question or your comment to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. 3986. Just give us your first name and how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. So again, so excited to be talking about St. Charbel. And what's interesting, when you see paintings or icons of him, he doesn't have his eyes open. You know, there's only one painting that I found, and I actually bought it, that has him, and his eyes are just partially open, not even fully open. So that shows the depth of his meditation and the depth of his deepness of his spirituality, focusing everything on God. St. Charbel Mukluf, he's our topic for today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Oh yeah, rocking out on a Friday, man. Get us into the weekend in a good mood.
Friday song.
Oh yeah. See, I love this good rhythm. Not difficult to play, but right. Great tone. Yeah, great attack in the drum in the pocket there. Awesome, man.
You don't need to do too much. I can't remember what it was. I was listening to an interview with some artist this week that said it's not just in the notes you play, it's in the notes you don't play.
Yes.
You don't want, like, nothing against, like, Yngwie or any of that. Like, here we go, right?
Yeah.
As I say, play all the notes. Like, there is, like, overkill at some point. Like, it's like, bring it back. Just let it breathe.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I think in any genre, whether it's a great fill on the drums or something on guitar or even I think of Charlie Parker, you know, on saxophone,
mm-hmm.
you know, speed is an accent.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't dominate the playing, but it's like an accent, you know, like, so you throw it in there when it's appropriate. And when you're trying, to say something,
yeah.
it's not about impressing people. Which it's called playing to the song. You know who did that? Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Everybody's all eruption and all this speed, all this technique. But if you listen to a lot of their songs, they're not like, oh my goodness, solo. I mean, not every song is like that. He just plays to the song.
Yeah.
That's appropriate to the song. It doesn't overplay.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that was a great attribute that hardly anybody mentions about him.
Yeah, and I think, in a song you can have a bridge lyrically, but also the solos are your bridge to the next section. So, you know, provide the bridge, but don't, you know, knock the people over on their way trying to get to the bridge.
Yeah, I think it's about note choice.
Yeah.
You know, and feel. You know, and if speed can contribute to that, you know, then that's even better.
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today is the feast day of St. Charbel Mukluf, one of the great Maronite saints, and as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest saints in the history of the church. He is a Maronite monk. So Maronites are Catholics from Lebanon. And he is an incredible miracle worker. And I know many people have gone to St. Charbel for intercession and would love to hear from you, your experience with St. Charbel. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as you start to wind down the rest of your day, of course, we've got opportunities for you to not only get your questions answered about your faith, the Catholic Church, any of those kinds of things to set you up nicely for the weekend. Catholic Answers Live tonight, 6 Eastern. Cy Kellett ready to answer your questions, and he's there for you Monday through Friday. So Catholic Answers Live only on EWTN Radio.
All right. Well, before we dive into St. Charbel, just a quick note to point out that tomorrow is the feast of St. James the Greater. You know, what do you mean, Deacon, when you say the Greater? Well, there were two James. In fact, what is it? I don't watch television, but somebody told me that on The Chosen, I think they call him Little James, like the other James. Like, you know, Little James, it was like a big James and a little James, something like that. And so the church is James the Greater and James the Lesser. Now, they were both apostles. Why is one greater than the other one? Well, if you look at the three that are selected, for example, if you look at Moses in the Old Testament, for example, Exodus 24, you see that there's Moses, and then he has the three that are his kind of apprentices. You have Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, okay? And so if you look at what Jesus did, because he's the new Moses, so he establishes Peter as Aaron, right, the high priest, and then James and John, Nadab and Abihu. So there's a parallel there, okay? So when we talk about James the greater, we're talking about that James that is part of that subgroup of apostles that Jesus takes with him different places, like Mount Tabor for the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. When he raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead, Peter, James, and John. In the Garden of Gethsemane on Holy Thursday night, Peter, James, and John. See, so there's this special subgroup of apostles. They're all wonderful apostles, but those three. Again, Jesus following the pattern of the new Moses, of being the new Moses, is just as Moses did establish a hierarchy in the Old Testament. Jesus has the fulfillment of the hierarchy in the apostles, which, of course, the successors today are the bishops of the church. So tomorrow, the feast of Saint James the Greater. But today is the feast day of Saint Charbel Makhlouf, one of the great saints of the church and a Maronite monk. And just to tell a little bit about, so if you want to share any experience if you had through the intercession of Saint Charbel, you just want to find out more about him. In fact, EWTN has a great movie about Saint Charbel. It is very well done. Obviously subtitled, right? But it's an awesome movie. I've seen it a couple of times. And I haven't looked at the TV listing, but I'm pretty sure since today is the feast of Saint Charbel, they probably might be running that movie. Or I'm sure you can find it on the EWTN app, you know, and the way EWTN's website is set up, you know, the new website, it's just great to be able to find awesome content. So I'm sure you can find the movie there, and I would encourage you to watch it to learn about the life of Saint Charbel. And so Saint Charbel is one of the best known saints of the entire Middle East. That's where his popularity first grew, but now he's worldwide. He arouses admiration and awe because of the extraordinary miracles and signs through the power of his intercession. So he was born in 1828. So he was born in the first third of the 19th century, and he was the fifth child of Maronite Catholic parents who lived in a small town just north of Beirut, obviously in Lebanon. His baptismal name was Yusuf, which is the English would be Joseph. And they, you know, the children grew up, and they showed it so well in the movie. They grew up in a very joyful atmosphere of love, which flowed from a life of daily prayer and hard work. Both his parents worked very, very hard to raise their children, to have a beautiful life, but also have a beautiful faith. So wonderful balance there. So when Joseph, the future Saint Charbel, was only 3 years old, his father died. And to ensure that her children's were able to maintain to support her children and their education, Saint Charbel's mom decided to remarry. And she married a wonderful husband who was upright, and he was a deacon, right, named Ibrahim. And so at the age of 14, Joseph felt called to monastic life, but decided to not enter the monastery until he was 23. So he felt God calling him at the age of 14, which actually, ironically, that's the age where I felt that first God was calling me. You know, I remember serving Mass and just being, thinking for the very first time, I could see myself doing what the priest does. You know, it's the first time I thought about God might be calling me to a vocation, which, of course, I thought was the priesthood and then monastic life. But it ended up, of course, in God's providence being the diaconate. So I'm grateful for that. So to see that there's a few parallels with St. Charbel, probably why I'm attracted to the Maronites, right? He was His father was a deacon. Well, his stepfather was a deacon. He first felt his calling to at age 14. He entered monastic life at 23, and I was 22 when I entered. So in November of 1853, he was taking his first vows, he was named Charbel. So typically when you join a religious community, whether that's monks or nuns, you get a name change to symbolize changing your life. So just like the MFVA friars at EWTN, you know, when they assumed religious life, they took on a religious name, right? That represents changing your life. And same thing was true of young Joseph. Joseph took his first vows as a Maronite monk and took the name Charbel. After early second century Antiochian martyr. So Antioch was one of the main sees of the church back in the very early church. So there were four main sees. So there was Alexandria, Antioch. Five main sees. And Alexandria, Antioch, Jerusalem, Constantinople, and Rome. Those were the five main scenes. There was a martyr in the church in Antioch named Charbel, and St. Charbel took his name after him. And so he finished his theological studies and was ordained to the priesthood on July 23rd, 1859, when he was 31 years old. And so as a young priest, he was a witness to the appalling massacre of 20,000 Christians. This was in 1860. He witnessed a massacre of 20,000 Christians by Muslim troops that murdered entire families of Christians without mercy, burning churches, that kind of thing. And many of his family and people in that town became refugees. They were terrified. They were hungry. They were some of them were badly wounded by what happened. And even thought that it could continue to happen or might even happen again. So they sought shelter in the monastery in Anaya, where St. Charbel was. And so he rendered every possible assistance to the refugees, all the time praying and fasting and imposing severe penances upon himself, just as is many of these kinds of saints did. You know, they fasted heavily. Heavy penances on themselves, like there were some saints who took a knotted cord and whipped themselves, you know, and things like that. We're not saying do that today, right? But these were people that wanted to experience the intense suffering of Christ. But what Saint Charbel was doing, he was offering himself as an expiation for the crimes that were committed against his people. He was begging for God's mercy on those who were persecuted and those who were persecuting them as well, right? So, wow, what a beautiful example. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for them. So St. Charbel not only prayed for them, but he fasted for them and inflicted penances upon himself for their souls, Wow, what an amazing example. We had a show, you know, this week we talked about how do you forgive yourself when you don't feel like you can be forgiven, you know, and especially when you've done something to someone and you don't feel you can be forgiven. The words of Jesus here are so incredibly important, and Saint Charbel lived those out beautifully. All right, Saint Charbel Makhlouf, he's our topic for today on his feast day, the great Maronite monk and saint. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. Oh yeah, rocking out today on Friday.
There's your David Lee influence.
Yep. Yeah, it does sound kind of like kind of same tone from his
it's like Yankee Rose.
His first album that came out after he left Van Halen. And man, what a lineup, man. Greg Bissonette
on
drums, Billy Sheehan on bass, Steve Vai on guitar. What?
Yeah.
Amazing.
On a double neck guitar, no doubt.
It might have been triple,
like two on one side, one on the other.
He has some wacky guitars. And I think he still uses that one on tour.
Yeah.
The one with the three necks. Or
yeah,
four
it's
necks,
become a
it
staple for him. I would think you'd have to.
Yeah. I actually like this album, David Lee Roth's first album, a lot.
I didn't care for like Just a Gigolo and some of the cover, like California Girls. Like, come on, Dave. Like, you're a songwriter. Stop doing cover songs.
Yeah. Some of the originals on there were good. Of course, the playing was outstanding. So
yeah.
Especially when Billy Sheehan and Steve Vai doubled lines.
Yeah.
You know, come on, man. that is just awesome.
Yeah, I heard this week there was an interview with Alex where Dave was the only call he made after Eddie died. Like, he didn't call Sammy or Michael or anybody. Like, the first call was to Dave. So I thought that was kind of cool. Like, bandmates are brothers for life.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and we're talking about Greg Bissonette playing drums for David Lee Roth. He also was the drummer for ELO, mm-hmm. Electrolyte Orchestra, mm-hmm. and their last couple tours. I think they're done now.
Yeah.
Their last couple tours, he was also a drummer for them.
Yeah.
Very versatile player.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. So we're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today is the feast day of Saint Charbel Makhlouf, one of the great saints in the church, a Maronite monk and priest. If you are Maronite, man, we'd love you to call in and share your stories and experiences of Saint Charbel or anyone with a special devotion or a story about Saint Charbel. Would love for you to call in the program today on his feast day. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
As we help to plan the rest of your afternoon, of course, any afternoon after Beacon of Truth, Ave Maria in the afternoon with our buddy Marcus Peter. Of course, you can always call in and chime in on his show or catch he and Beacon when they are on tour, because those are becoming a regular occurrence these days. But a good chance for you to get to know Marcus really well is check him out. Ave Maria in the afternoon after Beacon of Truth on EWTN Radio.
You know, that guy's crazy smart, too.
You know,
he's working on his second doctorate.
Right. I'm out.
I was like, Dude, what are you doing? You know, but he's just a brilliant, brilliant guy. All right. Saint Charbel Makhlouf, his feast day is today. So that's what we're talking about. Again, if you are a Maronite, would love for you to call in. Or if you're familiar with Maronite liturgy and would share some thoughts about the liturgy, or anyone with a devotion or a story about St. Charbel, man, we'd love for you to call in the program today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you can't call in, just send us a text. 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name and how you're listening. All right, so just continuing a little bit of the story of St. Charbel. So after spending 17 years in monastic life, he received permission to move to a hermitage. So if you're not familiar with hermits, these are men and women that basically live a life of solitude and prayer. If you want a great picture of modern-day hermits, there's a movie called Into Great Silence. It's one of the few movies that I actually own. I have it on DVD. Into Great Silence. It's about the Carthusians, founded by Saint Bruno. They're basically hermits that live in community. It is a spectacularly awesome movie, and there's hardly any talking in it. It's the first time in the history of the Carthusians that a cameras or any kind of video was allowed into the monastery to film their life. And they had to wait 20 years to get permission to do that. You know, so it's a beautiful, beautiful movie that shows really the depth of, and you can get some insights into St. Charbel's life when you look at that movie. It was on YouTube, but they took it off, probably some kind of copyright violation or something. But if you get able to see it, Into Great Silence, to give you some great insights about hermits, but also about St. Charbel and the kind of life that he led as well. And so he became a hermit and devoted his life to prayer, manual labor, and a deeper ascetical practices and self-denial. So even deeper fasting than what he was doing before. St. Charbel's room in monasteries is called a cell. It's not about prison. That's not the idea, but it's called a cell. Where the monk lives is only 6 meters square. You know, he wore a hair shirt under his habit, and he slept maybe just a few hours a day. He ate once a day, and it's a very simple, very meager meal without any meat. And the Eucharist was the focal point of his life. He would spend hours in Eucharistic adoration. And after a long adoration period, he would then say Holy Mass in the Hermitage Chapel and then remain for another 2 or 3 hours adoring the Lord after he celebrated the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So he was at a very strong devotion to Eucharistic adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And so he would spend his days, again, praying, fasting, meditating on the Holy Scriptures, doing Lectio Divina, the divine prayer, the prayerful reading of Scripture. It's almost like the Lectio Divina is like dialoguing with God, you know, through the Scriptures. A beautiful way to approach the Word of God. And he prayed without ceasing. I mean, obviously he had to stop praying to eat and things like that. But he constantly was thinking of God and how he could move himself closer to God. And, of course, manual labor. In this way, St. Charbel offered himself up to God, that God might purify his heart and free him from any evil desires or thoughts that may, selfishness that may turn him away from God. He always wanted to be focused on how he can become a better disciple and better follower of Christ. So his fellow monks considered him a saint during his lifetime. And they knew that one day he would become a saint because of his heroic witness to his faith. Saint Charbel Makhlouf, that's our saint today. Today is his feast day. Would love to hear from you if you are Maronite Catholic, or if you have a devotion to, or even a story about St. Charbel. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Gracias, calling from Jefferson City, Missouri, listening on a Catholic radio network. Gracias, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi.
Yeah, great to hear from you today.
So, yeah, St. Charbel is a very dear saint to my heart. I grew up in Lebanon, and there's not one favor that we ask him that he did not help us with. We're very devoted to him. He's like an hour away from where we live, and we had to visit him at least once a year. And every time we really needed a big favor, what can I say? He is known to have had a lot of miracles. It is very moving to be there and to do this pilgrimage. I encourage anybody who can to do it. There is a display of, there are many stories, but one of them, there's a display of braces. You know, there was this epidemic of poliomyelitis, and people were paralyzed. And so these kids went up there. And so the saying says they left their braces and walked away. It is very moving. I cannot like read this and not cry. It's true. Like these kids were cured. They came limping and paralyzed from polio, and they left their braces there and walked away. So it's very moving. It's very real when you see it. What else?
So, Grasa, do you know, is his body exposed, like, behind glass, or is it entombed? Is he incorrupt at all?
No, it's in the tomb. I have not seen his body exposed.
Okay. Because I heard there was, like, some kind of holy fluid that was emanating from his body, and people have been collecting that?
Yeah, a long time ago, right? When he died. Mm-hmm. When he died. I don't know that this is true now, right?
Okay. Yeah, because I know there was some kind of holy fluid emanating from his body.
Yeah.
They were collecting
it. For days after his death. For days after his death, that happened. But I go every year, at least once a year. And I just came back last Sunday.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I went to visit my mom. But yeah, so and every time I go to Lebanon, I go to where he is now. And so I don't believe the water is still emanating now. He is not exposed. You do see where his cell, and he used to sleep literally. His pillow was just a piece of wood, a piece of a tree trunk. And he lived a very poor life and a very obedient life. His first miracle was he was so obedient. One day, after working in the fields all day, his superior had asked him for a report, and it had to be done by the morning. Well, it was dark, and he could not see. And so he turned on the lamp, and the lamp, the oil was used. Like, he needed more oil. So he asked two little guys to bring him oil. So they were laughing, and they're like, well, it's too late. You're tired. You need to go to bed. So just as a joke, they filled it with water and gave it to him. But he was so devoted. He was so adamant about writing that report that night that the lamp flipped. And so that was his first miracle. Like, he was able to light the lamp with water instead of oil.
Wow. How about that? Oh, that's beautiful. And so you're in Jefferson City, Missouri. Do you attend the Maronite Parish there?
Did I grow up in a Maronite parish?
No, you're living in Jefferson City, Missouri. Is there a Maronite parish in your area? Okay.
No, we go to the cathedral in Jefferson City. It's Catholic. Mm-hmm. We go to St. Joseph Cathedral. There is a Maronite church in St. Louis.
Yeah, you know, I would encourage anybody listening, if there's a Maronite parish in your area, to go and go on a Sunday. I mean, this is Catholic. I mean, you know, they're part of the church. They're one of the Eastern churches that are in communion with Rome. So you can fulfill your Sunday obligation by going to a Maronite liturgy. You know, it'll be beautiful. I remember bringing youth from the parish to the first time they went. And they were like, wow, you know, because it was just so used to seeing the Latin rite. And they thought, this is what Mass is. But when they see the liturgy, divine liturgy, and they go and experience it, they're like, whoa, what was it? And they had all kinds of questions. The Buna was so great to answer questions that they had. And this is Catholic. You know, this is part of the Catholic Church. And they were just like floored. So I would encourage anybody out there to go and experience a Maronite liturgy. And if you have questions, I'm sure that Abuna, that's the matter for priests, that the Abunas, the priest there, would be happy to answer any questions that you have about the Maronite rite. So absolutely beautiful. Is there anything else you want to share with us, Gracias, since we have you on the line?
No, he's a wonderful saint, and I'm so happy we celebrated on the US, and Monsignor Kerwicki here, we've been friends for a long time, and he texted me today, and he's like, well, I celebrated Mass at noon, and I mentioned your family, just because he knows I'm from there, and when I go, I usually bring him a little treat from St. Trevor. I mean, not treats as in, like, edible treats, but, like, little, you know, pictures and books and rosaries and whatnot. So, anyway, he's a wonderful saint, and I'm very devoted to him.
Well, thank you so much for your call. It was so wonderful to hear from you, hear about your trips over there. And let me ask you this. If people are interested in going, is it safe to go over there with everything going on in the Middle East right now? I'm sure that's a question that people are asking themselves.
So if it wasn't for my mom, honestly, I wasn't going to go. But we had a blast, and every time I go, we do have a blast. You have to be careful who's picking you up from the airport, and, you know, you can't just go and not know where you're going. Mm-hmm. It was safe for me. But I'll tell you, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, like my son, for example, like, he's 28. It depends.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go just as an American, not speaking the language and not knowing. You know, like, with people from there, totally, yes, you can go. But just by yourself and just venturing, not speaking the language, I don't think it's safe.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that honest assessment of the situation there, because, I've invited myself to come there. And I haven't gone because of the issues there. You know, even though I was in law enforcement, I was in threat assessment for a long time. I don't have access to any of those profiles anymore. But I do have friends that are still in, and what little they can share with me, I say yes or no. And so that's one of the areas that they're still telling me no. So that's why I haven't gone yet. But I mean, that's my definitely near the top of my bucket list, is to go to Lebanon. And part of it, Gracia, is the in the Bible, they talk about the cedars of Lebanon. All throughout the Old Testament, talk about the cedars of Lebanon. I want to see them. I want to actually see the cedars of Lebanon that spoke about so beautifully, in the Old Testament. So that's definitely a place I want to get to one day. So we'll pray for the end of hostilities over there, and that things will be safer, that we can go in the Holy Land as well, but also to Lebanon to experience the beautiful life and legacy of Saint Charbel. And we'd love to hear from you today, Saint Charbel, on his feast day today. If you are a Maronite Catholic like Gracia was, who just came back from Lebanon, or if you have a devotion to St. Charbel, or you just want to share a story. Maybe you prayed for an intercession and God granted that. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. One of the things about St. Charbel, he has many, many miracles attributed to him. You know, so for example, in 1873, Father Charbel's superior sent him to the palace of the prince, whose son was dying of typhus. And the doctor that was treating the son really didn't give him any hope at all. You know, so Father Charbel went, and just like the priests do today, he administered the anointing of the sick to the boy and blessed him with holy water. And instantly, the boy recovered. And after the doctor saw that and did subsequent medical tests, the boy became one of the the boy himself went on to become one of the most famous physicians in Lebanon. Right? Come on, that's awesome. These were while he was still alive, not even counting the miracles after he died. These are when he was still living. You know, several men. In another miracle, several men brought a person suffering from mental illness. Now, remember back in the Old and New Testament, they said that this person could have been possessed because things like schizophrenia and bipolar and multiple personality disorder, I mean, obviously they didn't have those diagnoses back then. So part of it, when people experienced that, they were saying that they were possessed. Now, they could have actually been possessed as well, but this would have been also considered, you know, possibly being possessed. So they brought this person suffering mental illness to the monastery where St. Charbel was, because they were unable to bring him into the church, for he resisted with superhuman strength. You know, so they could barely get him there, and they couldn't even get him into the church. So Father Charbel came out and approached and asked him to go in with him and kneel at the tavern before the tabernacle. So the man calmed down, was able to go into the chapel following St. Charbel. And after praying, St. Charbel read one of the gospel passages from him about the Gennesaret demoniac. You remember the guy that was naked and in the tombs? And when he read that gospel, the man was healed. What? That is awesome. And later, that same man got married, had a large family, and moved to the United States. So, man, it's awesome. St. Charbel. So, again, St. Charbel, his feast day is today, one of the greatest saints and greatest miracle workers in the history of the church. And we'd love to hear from you today. If you are Maronite Catholic, or if you have a special devotion to St. Charbel, or a story to share about how he interceded in your life, maybe for a family member, even for yourself, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. St. Charbel died on Christmas Eve in 1898 while celebrating Mass. You know, I wonder how many priests hope that they died while they were saying Mass. You know, so he died Christmas Eve, 1898. That very day, the day that St. Charbel died, a local villager experienced an inner conviction, an inner kind of locution that Father Charbel had been called to heaven. So young men were sent, again, this is private revelation, but the young men, it was obviously Christmas Eve, so it was snowing. They went out with shovels to clear the snow so that they can go bring Father Charbel's body to carry his body to the monastery from the hermitage where he lived. And he said, they said, "We have lost a brilliant star that protected our order, our church, and all of Lebanon with his holiness." The prior of the monastery said that. So on Christmas Day, Father Charbel was laid to rest at a communal grave in the monastery. So he didn't get any special treatment. He was buried in the same cemetery where all the other monks of his order were also buried. All right, we're talking about one of the greatest miracle workers in the church, St. Charbel, on his feast day today. 833-288-EW10. Trisha is calling from Duluth, Minnesota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Trisha, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, thank you very much. I came upon St. Charbel on a movie on EWTN. What a great movie about his life and everything. Anyway, I have struggled all my life, not proud of this, with gluttony. Food has been, it's just ever since I was small. And so, anyway, I was even bulimic for 8 years in my 20s. But with prayer, I overcame that, or God helped me overcome that. And then, just a reversion back to the church. And about 5 years ago, I saw this movie. And then I went to visit recently, last October, to Medjugorje, and I saw this book about him. And it's not a long book or anything, but anyway, read that, and it just hit my heart, my heart too. And I was thinking, you know, boy, wouldn't it be nice to go to Lebanon where he, you know, go there and visit his site. But anyway, I've asked for his intercession through this, trying to be more temperate and to overcome. As I said, it's been all my life, and I'm 67 now. Anyway, so I am just so thankful because I know he is helping with this intercession of him. And I just thank God for that. And so that's it.
All right. Beautiful. Susan's calling from New York saying that she's going to a St. Charbel healing mass. That's awesome. You know, so again, I would encourage you to go to a Maronite parish in your area. If they're having a healing mass for St. Charbel, go. Definitely go. So, Susan, you're absolutely doing the right thing. And I hope that you receive a healing through the intercession of St. Charbel for whatever is going on in your life. All right, my friends. Can moral theology change? That's our topic for next week. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. Until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.